What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Disney College Program Podcast. I'm Josiah.
And I'm Holly, and we are your hosts.
So today's episode is about the fast-paced, high-energy world of quick-service food and beverage on the Disney College Program.
That's right. We are going to be talking with an incredible participant who works at one of the busiest locations in Disney's Hollywood Studios.
So let's welcome Ethan to the podcast. Well, what's up, Ethan? We're so excited to have you for the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to this. This has been very exciting all week. So,
absolutely. All right. So we always like to start at the beginning. So give us the rundown. How did you hear about the program?
Yeah. So how I heard about it originally was actually right before I joined. So I was finishing up college. There were a bunch of these jobs that could have interested my field of what I wanted to do. But then I saw Disney and I was like, oh, I have to look into that. And then the college program went from there. And then I applied and was thinking, oh, maybe I'll get in, maybe I won't. And then I was lucky enough to get it from there. And here I am. So that's the short rundown. There's probably a longer, more varied story, but depends how much time we have today.
Oh, we got time.
Great. I'll look into it more. So, yeah.
So did you always want to work for Disney? Like, what was it about Disney that caught your interest?
When I think of Disney, I think of it as the pinnacle of leading in an industry. So you want to be part of that, even if it wasn't the driving force when I was growing up. As I started looking at jobs, I'm thinking Disney does it in the leading innovative way. So no matter where you go in Disney, it's going to be great. And especially because of all the fields you can do, it's just so many opportunities that can be opened up in that way.
Yeah. Do you have one of those moments where you got the email back that says, hey, you're on your way down? What was that moment like for you?
For a split second, I was like, wow, I go into the program and all this. And mom said, she's like, wow, it's Disney, you know, there's nothing quite like it. So In that way, it was very, very cool.
And what did you study? Because you said you were like looking in your field of interest and then you're like, oh, Disney, let me
well,
go
I
there.
Always loved Disney. So I majored in economics. And then from there, I was looking at financial positions in Disney. It's changed a little bit because now I'd like to be a production assistant and an internship from there. Ooh. So, yeah, and I'm looking into that. But the college programs opened so many doors in that way.
Wait, so you started with a degree in economics, looking at like finance jobs and things of that nature, and then you just said you want to change to be a production assistant. What changed? Like, when did that happen?
I believe I was never totally sold on the financial position. I did economics because I could go into any door that I wanted to. And then from there, I was like, well, I only have one life to live. Might as well try Disney and then see what I do from there. Because I can always fall back on that because the degree isn't going to go anywhere. But since I've learned here, I probably want to continue with Disney for quite the long term. So
yeah. Do you feel that the things that you've learned obviously in school, like, you're able to apply in different aspects and like maybe surprising things that you didn't expect while you've been here?
I think the best way to put it is the two categories. So from school, I was able to analyze situations particularly well, especially in workplaces and how to jump quickly to things. But then joining the college program, my people skills grew even more. Not that they were terrible in the first place, but when you're interacting with people all day in a work environment, it's not like a classroom where you're doing a paper isolated by yourself and all you see is people outside of the classroom. So at work, you're actually interacting and doing those things. So I feel like I've grown those two aspects from the two different experiences. Yeah.
I realize we never even talked about what you do on the program. So can you give us a little overview of your role and your location?
Yeah, so I'm in the multiple location category. So I'm quick service food and beverage. So, and I'm situated in Hollywood Studios. So I work at Backlot Express, which includes Backlot, Echo Lake, which includes the Dockside Diner, and then Epic Eats, where I can work from there. So those are the three locations I work at.
Do you have a favorite?
Do I have a favorite? It's funny, people always have a designated favorite for what they want to do. I like being moved around all over the place. I say to the coordinators and leaders, just put me where you need me, and then it just works out from there.
So when people hear just this thing of quick service food and beverage, I'm sure they have a lot of things that kind of come to their mind, but what exactly is that? Like, what are you doing on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so quick service food and beverage, it's, as you'd imagine, a very fast-paced, high-intensity environment, but I thrive off that. And you, I like to think of it as the front of house and then the back of house operations. One being the back of house, making sure everything flows smoothly and correctly, and the front of house as well. And I think they're of equal importance because, one, you have to deliver the product, but the front of house has to make sure it's delivered well and promptly. So that's how I like to think of it in simpler terms. There can be more complicated ways of thinking about it, but I think it's easier to think of it as front of house and back of house for those things. So interacting with guests, making sure food arrives on time, checking things are cooked, things of that nature.
This is a really big role for the college program. A lot of people get to work in quick service, and there are a lot of different positions that you can do. So can you just walk us through, like, what are those positions?
Yeah. So like I said, it was front of house, back of house. So I'll start with the front of house. So there's a couple of positions you can have. There's the counter position where there's two sections from there. So you have the mobile order counter and then the white ticket counter. So the mobile order deals with the mobile orders that come through, and they use an iPad and go with the guest and say, oh, your order is ready, and then get the order, the drinks or whatever, not, and deliver it to them. And then you have the white ticket counter, which is when someone orders through or arrives to the restaurant, then orders through the register. And then they order from there, pick it up from the counter, and we deliver it from there. And then we have other positions as well, such as trash and whatever not, which takes out the trash, and then bussers, which clean the tables. And then you have a counter stalker, which is stocking up all the fridges with milk, orange juice, all that good stuff. What else will we have in the front position? I'll go back to the front. Let's go to the back. I know more about that. So in the back position, we have a thing called the line, which other restaurants probably have as well, which is where the main food goes along. So we have three positions along that, and it has two sides. So when it's particularly busy, imagine the left side is our regular line, and then the right side is the mobile. So kind of like the front, that's how it works. When it's not particularly busy, I'll be close to the microphone, we'll have the mobile side closed, and it'll just all go through the left side. So there'll be three positions. There'll be an anchor, a middle, and then a window. The anchor organizes the trays and makes sure that the plates that are putting onto the tray match the order. So for instance, a bacon cheeseburger is going to have a bigger plate than a chicken tender, and making sure those all match or align on that tray. The middle then puts the food onto the burger, whatever not, so it could be pulled pork, the meat itself, whatever not. And then the person on the left window puts further food, so fries and things, and then they'll send it out the window. Other positions include prep, so self-explanatory, just prepping food. You're helping culinary out. And then other positions, kitchen stalker, like counter stalker, you're stalking the whole kitchen. I would say that's, I don't know, I keep saying the word fun, maybe the most intense job, because the kitchen's so large and you have a little radio and things, so you got to stalk the kitchen up. What else is there? Oh, my position, fryers, where you're firing up everything. I like that one just because they put me on there. You like what you get put on all the time, so what you get used to. And then there's salads, grills, all that good stuff. To make those dishes and whatever not. So those are the main things. I'm probably missing a couple, but there's so many different positions and whatever not. So
you just listed like 30 different things.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know if you wanted to speed dial no, out, perfect. If you wanted to go into it. So yeah.
So then a two-parter within that, is there one that you prefer over all of them? And then two, is there one that you felt was the most challenging out of all those?
Ooh, challenging. So I think you prefer what you're comfortable with. That's why I like being changed sometimes, because I like the challenge. So probably I like fryers the most, because I know what I'm doing, and I know if I'm by myself, I can close it up well and do a good job. Most challenging was probably when I started out. The kitchen stalker position is when you got to make sure the entire kitchen's running properly. So salads need lettuce. You have to go to the back of the restaurant and get salads and make sure everything is stocked throughout the whole time. And when there's a lunch rush, you could be asked to get three things at once. And obviously you can't get three things at once. So it's constantly running back and forth all the time. So that's the most challenging position per se. Outside of that main restaurant, I would say the most challenging job, and this you do the entire day, is called the Echo Stalker. So what they do is what the kitchen does on a bigger scale. So they take a big cart and they take the supplies from backlot and they stock the boat and Epic Eats, which is by Indiana Jones, and they'll stock that up. So for the entire day, they're going back and forth in the sun and lifting boxes and big boxes of chips and throwing it in. And you gotta, and it's quite difficult job because you have to plan ahead if they're going to go through something, because you can't just walk back. It's like a 10-minute walk just to bring stuff to there. So that's the most intense job, but I like intense, like fun jobs like that. So I don't mind it as much, but yes, that's the hardest one.
So now that you've worked in this role for a little bit of time, you're a trainer and everything, do you have any advice for people who may be coming into the quick service role or just the Disney College program in general?
I can answer that those questions separately. So I'll start with the Disney College program. Just put yourself out there and try the best. It's probably the most generic advice that everyone says, but it really is true. And when you put it into practice and you go above and beyond, especially when you the times that count, like when you put yourself out there, when it's closed and everyone's tired and you're the one helping the team out and leading and, you know, insisting and all this stuff, leaders see that, even though you don't think they're going to see it. You're always on show, not just with guests, but with leaders as well. And that shouldn't be a pressure thing. It's almost like you're entertaining in a way. Like, you've got to put your best effort out there. So it stands out, especially in times where everyone else is down, when you rise. So I would say it's definitely important to stand out in that way, just by always showing up and always being there. It pays off after a while. I mean, like you said, the trainer thing, I didn't even think about it. And they came up to me and said, oh, you'd be a good trainer. I didn't think about it. But it's just going in there and then doing your best every day for the college program. For quick service, I would say it's better. This is my thing for life, too. I try not to have expectations for things, because I feel like if they're met, then great, perfect. But if they're not, then it's, you know, it's not great. I think it's better just to go in with as much excitement and preparation that you can, and then see what goes from there. I mean, the best thing about life is that you don't know what is next. So that's what makes it interesting. So,
yeah. So knowing where you are now, if you could go back to before you got on the program, mm-hmm. and just give yourself a little bit of advice, is there anything that you would change, or is
no,
there...
no, nothing. No, I'm just kidding. would I change anything? I probably wouldn't change anything. I'd probably just say, like, it'll all work out. That's probably all I would say. Because it always does in the end. So, yeah, that's probably all I would say. But no, I wouldn't change anything, I wouldn't think. Because even if you make mistakes, like, I'm not going to go back and fix a mistake, because that mistake maybe led me to something else. So I don't think I would change anything.
So we know a lot of people already have in mind what they want to do when they apply for the program, and they see all these different roles. Mm-hmm. For someone who receives the quick service role, mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you would recommend for them to keep in mind as they head into it?
Yeah, so some, as I said before, it's always good to be prepared and have great expectations. You are what you make it. I mean, I think you can be thrown in the best of roles. If you fumble it, you fumble it, right? You have to be that great person. And it's like with anything, if someone doesn't want to be in QSR, and you already have the mindset of, I don't want to be in quick service, and it's not going to go very well for you. But if you say, hey, it's not what I had imagined, but, you know, let's see how it goes, it's going to go much better for you. In the end, you might be like, oh, okay, I like it, I'll stay, or, you know, I'll transfer. But either way, it's not going to be a bad experience, because you got to step into Disney. Either way, it's a win in that sense. My best example was, a lot of people complain, or I've noticed, about the custodial position before they go. And I talked to I had a custodial roommate, and it was like the best job he ever had, because they just go around, they have their own schedule. I was like, we should switch. And then he's like, yeah, you just do your own thing and stuff. I think people have, that goes back to the expectation thing. It's always good to have standards and stuff, but, you know, having an expectation of something you don't know about doesn't make too much sense, because you just got to go in and see what it's like. Then you know if you like or something. And the best thing is, you don't have to stay there if you don't like it. It's not like for a little bit of time, you're not forced there to be there 20 years. So I think just trying stuff out, and rather than just assuming, oh, I'm not going to do that, or I'm not going to do this, then you're limiting yourself in that way. So it's best just go out and try new things.
Yeah. And I feel like that's so normal when you're going into something that you don't know a lot about. Like you said, I mean, even you, when you were first coming into this role, I know you mentioned, you're like, well, before I extend or think about that, like, let me see if I hate it for the first few weeks. And then you're like, oh my gosh, no. Like, as you learn more about it and you got into it and met people, you're like, oh, I love this. And now you're staying for a whole year, which is super cool. So when you talk about, like, how your people skills developed by being on this program, tell me more about that. Like, what was that like interacting with the guests?
Oh, well, here's one of my favorite examples. So I was, I'm typically back of house, but on one of these days I was interacting with guests on May the 4th of all days in Hollywood Studios. So Star Wars Day. I'm a big Star Wars fan, so we can get into that if you would like. I don't want to force you down that rabbit hole. But there was this one guest, and every option we asked the guest, what name would you like for the order? And I asked him, and he was dressed up as Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I asked him, what name would you like? And before he could answer, I interrupted, and I said, Ben. So it's little things like that, where it's like, oh, he could have been Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then I think I may have put his real name in there, or whatever not. But it's those little guest interactions, like playful side, which guests love, especially because that's the whole point of coming to Disney, right, as a guest. You're just there to have fun, so might as well have some fun with it, rather than just saying, you want chicken strips, you want fries. I mean, it's got to be a little more interesting than that.
Yeah.
Even on my end, too, it makes it more interesting for everyone. So,
was that one of the things that you were looking forward to coming into the program?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was like, all these jokes I can make, especially because they're so infatuated with, you know, all of these universes and things. I was like, oh, I have to do it. So, yeah, definitely. That was one of the things I was looking forward to.
Wait, can I put you on the spot? Like, what are some of your go-to jokes that you tell the guests?
Well, I don't have any go-to.
Your bits that you do with guests.
Go-to jokes. Okay. Well, I probably know Star Wars the most. So my main thing would be like, have you been on Rise of the Resistance today, or the Millennium Falcon? There is one joke. I don't like using it, though, because I don't like to make myself cringe. But so we have this thing called the Cookie Wookie. And people like to say, I don't like to, I've said it once and I've never said it since. They said, Oh, I've heard it's a little chewy.
So. Oh, that's
yeah.
so good.
Yeah, it's so good, but so bad at the same time. So I refrained from doing it. But everyone else uses it plenty. I was like, I've got to make an original joke or something different. Mine's more in context. I'm not good at the remembering the specific ones, but that one's tormented in my mind. So I got
that's amazing.
Still in there.
That's yeah. so funny. Mm-hmm.
There's definitely somebody going home like, let me tell you something that I learned today. Yeah. You're like,
yeah, this cookie was very chewy today. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, get it?
Yeah. So before coming into this experience, had you had an experience with quick service food and beverage before?
I would say so. I mean, nothing's quite as quick paced as Disney, but I worked in a mini golf place in Lighthouse, and it was a very interesting place because it was both had a bar and ice cream in the same place. So the kids would get all the ice cream and the parents would go to the alcohol, especially after a long day. So they would go for that, yeah. drink that, and then they'd go play mini golf. So that could be high pace. So I had a little bit of experience from there. But Disney drives it home when it comes to guest satisfaction and things yeah. like that. Definitely.
And did you feel like you needed that experience beforehand or coming into it? Like if you hadn't done that before, would you be like...
It definitely helped. But I also, this may sound strange, I also like not knowing what to do and just learning as I go by the fly type of thing. And I was able to grow in that way. Sometimes you have to be thrown into the water and then made to swim. So I had a little bit of experience coming in, but definitely learned quite a few things coming in.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, you've mentioned this is a really fast-paced work environment a couple of times. How does Disney prepare you to deal with that kind of environment?
3 weeks training somewhere. No, but in all seriousness, yeah. So it's 3 weeks of training, and then they what I think is great is that at the end of each training, they'll have a leader callback, which is when the leader comes in, and I like when they say, you know, your training doesn't end when the 3 weeks is over. You really have training for another 2 months, meaning we don't expect you to know everything. Everything's new to you and mistakes are welcomed, which I think it should be, especially, well, in any stage you're in, right? If you're a veteran in one place, mistakes are still made. And if you don't make those mistakes, then you don't grow. So it's yeah. definitely just welcomed. It will always stay fast paced, but there's always resources there to help you as well, which Disney is very good at. So
yeah. Did you have any of those like fears or scary moments during those 3 weeks initially of like, all right, I don't know if I can do this, or like, how did you overcome some of that if you did? Oh,
I definitely thought to myself, wow, this is quite fast paced in all of this. But I'm the type of person who's very adrenaline rushed. So I was very much into, oh, they're going to throw me in. But for someone who's not more so that way, the best thing is just to ease into it and not feel like you have to match the pace straight away. Like it's better to do a good job than a quick job that's terrible. So I definitely feel like just because something is fast paced doesn't mean you need to go that speed initially, especially because most of the people there have been there so long. That's the only reason it is fast paced. So definitely at the beginning, you don't have to go to the speed everyone else is going mm-hmm. at that point.
What makes it so fast paced? Is it the volume of guests that you're getting? Is it like attitude of the guests? Like,
it can be both. It can be both. I don't get to experience the attitude often. It's funny. They'll come up and say to me, oh, Ethan, we've had an angry guest. And I was like, oh, take me to them. Because I like to talk, you know, try to solve it and make it better. I find it quite funny. You know, making an angry guest into a happy one, or thrilling in a way. But definitely, I would say it's definitely an interaction between the two. But I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing a lot of the same thing day in and day out. And this is a job at the end of the day. It's a cool job, exactly. But it is a job.
Yes.
And we've all had our moments at work where we're like not having our best day. How do you handle those moments knowing that you still need to create magical experiences for the guests for the reason you just described?
I think you put it best. You said it's a job at the end of the day, and you have to put their needs in front of your needs. So if I'm feeling one day particularly sad or not feeling right that day, I have to remember that the guest is, you know, put their efforts towards a park and have spent years and whatever not. And I can't let my one day ruin their 6 months if that's the case. So just putting it logically in a sense is like, I can't ruin their day. Obviously there's gonna be days where you feel bad, and then, you know, you could say to a coordinator or leader, I feel like I should go take a break or something like that. So there's ways of handling it. But in most cases, I just feel their needs surpass mine because they've spent so much time planning it. I mean, it'd be like if I planned a vacation for 6 months and then I met Ethan and then Ethan wasn't very nice to me that day. I can be like, Ethan only had to be nice to me for one day. So yeah. It's that little bit of like, you know, they put that much effort and I could put a little bit in. So mm-hmm. It's like a mutual agreement in a way.
Yeah. What's that experience been like working with your coordinators and your leaders and having people in the area that are like the experts in that field?
Like you said, it's kind of like with the guests, you just treat everyone like people and kindness and you use everyone fairly, then it works out the same. I try to treat every cast member, no matter the level, regular trainer, coordinator, leader, if you just treat people with respect, it usually goes along further in that way. So
we talked a lot about, you know, your role here and what you're doing on the clock, but off of the clock, what are some of the things that you do just to enjoy your own time here?
Yeah, so I like going to the sessions, the learning sessions they have, and seeing your journey through one of those sessions, spending time with family, and then writing as well in those pieces. So that's what I like to do in my off time, when I have it for a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, so you said you're originally from Cocoa Beach, which is pretty close to Orlando. Mm-hmm. How often are you going back?
Every 3 months or so. I could definitely improve that number. I make the joke that I was farther away in college. So I was in Florida State, where it was Tallahassee, and that was about a 4.5 hour drive. So,
but what has it been like? I mean, you said you're used to being away from home mm-hmm. in general, but to have that kind of distance to become your own human being, right, and be mm-hmm. yourself and be in your own space. Do you feel like you've been able to do that while you're here?
Definitely so. Definitely. The only thing that I can't live without is my mom's cooking, but that's the only thing that bothers me a little bit. But yeah, it's been nice to do independent things and kind of go on your own schedule and figure out things. Kind of like join this position in the first place. You're just figuring it out the way you go along. I like being spontaneous, so it suits my style in a way, you could say.
Growing up so close to Walt Disney World, did you guys go to Disney World at all?
We did all the time up until about, well, we moved to California for a little bit and went to Disneyland, I love Disneyland as well. we went to Disney World all the time up until about 2018, and then life got in the way, and then COVID or whatever not. So then I came back in, what would that be, 2025. So, and then been here quite a lot since then.
Was there ever an attraction or a location that you wanted to like try to work at as a kid or something that's called?
It has to be Star Wars. And the one I didn't want to go on, and I've only been on once, was Tower of Terror. I would not want to work there. Mm. I love roller coasters, but for some reason that isn't my jam. I don't know if you two like that. But
he does not.
Nope.
He will not go.
I've been once and I'm never going again. Yeah. I think the worst part is a longer wait time. Luckily, I had a 15 minute. It was early in the morning. And my friend's like, oh, you, because I like bragging of what about I haven't been on, because it's funny. And they're like, oh, you haven't been on this? And they're like, well, I'll take you on now. I was like, oh, I don't want to, you know, not go on. So I was like, yeah, I'll go with you. It's 15 minute wait. I'm not going on that again.
No.
Not planning on it anytime soon.
You didn't like it?
No, it's just, it's a little lap belt. And then you go, and there's something about it. It's
you're not, holding on for dear life.
I like momentum. That's what it is. I like Guardians, and I don't want to ruin it for everyone if they haven't been on, but Guardians, Tron, I like all that momentum. I don't just like sitting and just whoop like that. I'm guessing you do though, right, based off?
I don't know. It's such a love-hate relationship with Tower of Terror, because I'm like, yeah, I'll go on it. And I was like you. I didn't go on it for the longest time until someone finally was like, you are being such a baby. Like, grow up. You need to go on it. And I was like, oh, is that what makes you an adult?
Yeah, that's what took me to like, well, you got to go on it. Like, it was kind of peer pressure. And I was like, you're right. I'm not going
to
stand down.
I will succumb to peer pressure. Yes. Grow folded under almost no pressure. And I went on it and I was like, this, like when you're on it, I'm like, I'm going to die on this ride. And then you get off and you're like, that was so much fun. Let's do it 10 more times. And then you like, I don't know. It's a love hate.
A little different then, because I was like, I'm not going on this again.
I hate this.
So have you been on it, Josiah, or no?
No, and I'm okay.
Smart man.
Scary. Yeah. Okay, but I know you're a huge Star Wars fan, and you didn't actually get to go visit Galaxy's Edge until, it sounds like, until you came here in 2025.
Here, yeah.
Okay, so have you been on Rise of the Resistance?
Oh, many times. I went the other day. It's my favorite ride. Yeah, I love Rise of the Resistance.
My second or third day on this job, I got to ride Rise of the Resistance. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I'm not a Star Wars guy, and I had never, you know, obviously seen the land, been in that area before. But even someone who hasn't experienced it, I thought it was one of the coolest mm-hmm. things that I had ever seen. And anytime I bring family, I'm like, you have to do it. You have to try it. So is that the same for you? Of like, you have to come and see Rise of Resistance?
Oh, yes, definitely. Because my whole family was. And I think for my dad, it was even more surreal because he was, you know, so much older and grew up with the original movies. And then when he saw the Millennium Falcon at the end of Galaxy's Edge, it was a surreal moment. Like, wow, they built a life-size version of it. And what I also like about Smuggler's Run is at the top, you can see the, you know, the top of this Millennium Falcon and all the details that went into it. It wasn't just a facade on the front and then nothing on the top. It was amazing how they put the detail on all the surroundings and made it full size or close to full size, I believe. So it's incredible.
It's so cool. Yeah, the Imagineers did their big one with Galaxy's Edge. They really did. Do you have, what is your favorite Star Wars movie? Now I have to ask.
Wow. It's funny. I like a lot of scenes from The Phantom Menace, but I don't know if that's my favorite. I go Empire Strikes Back because Darth Vader is my favorite character of all time. I'd have to go with that one. Yeah, definitely Empire Strikes
Back. So you don't like the good guys. You're like,
no, I do love the bad guys. That's why I like Rise of Resistance. Like, I like when I walk into the, hopefully this isn't too much of a spoiler, but when you walk into the Rise of Resistance line, the Imperial officers are angry. I'm like, this is great. Give it all to me. Yeah, if you notice, maybe I'm a bit evil. I like the angry guests. I like this. Yeah. It's kind of catching on a little bit. It's a trend. I'm wearing black. No.
Yeah, you're kind of in character.
Yeah, I guess I am. True self, right? This is the casting audition, though. So, yeah, I do like the all the villain stuff and things. They're just so interesting. So,
okay, so you're a trainer now, right?
Yes.
How did you get to that position?
So it kind of it was serendipity in a way. So they was getting to the point where they needed more trainers and things. And there, I wasn't even thinking about the trainer position. I was just show up to work, do a good job, and then leave. And then one person came up to me and said, oh, Ethan, you'd be a great trainer. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. And then kind of, you know, ignored it and moved the wrong day. And then another person came up and said, oh, Ethan, you should think about it. And I thought, oh, okay, now this is the second person who's come up. Maybe, and then I believe maybe a third person came up. I was like, oh, maybe I should consider this. So then I went to the leader and said, oh, can I take the trainer test and all that? And he's like, yeah, go and take it. And he was pleased with my results. And I was like, oh, perfect. I can be a trainer then and all this. And that's how I became to the point of trainer and then went from there. But it's fairly recent. I think it was a month or two ago. Yeah, I think it started in June. Yeah.
So when we think about transferable job skills, you know, you're saying you can kind of envision yourself maybe more in a management position. But even if it's not a management position, how do you feel that your experience on the program is going to influence whatever your next steps are?
So I like to think of it two ways. One, my people skills grow, which I've already mentioned for you. But also just having Disney on the resume is a conversation starter in itself. And going up with the company, I would like to stay with Disney in no matter what role it would be in the coming years anyway. So definitely having that college program experience and seeing initiations. I think the best thing actually, a segue, is the cast compliments you get. I also think, because they can see that, I believe, internally when you apply in things. And I think that's great if that next position's like, oh, Ethan, I saw you're good at this, this, and this. Better than this candidate, or maybe this candidate was 10 times better than me, and they're like, oh, Ethan, that's why we didn't select you. They wouldn't tell me that, but you know, you gotta look at both sides of the coin. So I was like, oh yeah, so there's interesting ways where I can use my skills and cast compliments and things to, you know, have jobs that are applicable for me.
Yeah, and I know you also mentioned, you know, being able to attend a lot of these learning sessions and offerings, like you're getting to see so many other areas of the company that you may not have even known about. Are there other things that you've learned, either segments of business or just people that have kind of spoken to you and, you know, shown you what you want to do?
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say that. The most I've learned is from the learning sessions, and I would love to go into film. So that's why I joined originally. So I'd love to be a production assistant and whatever not. I've learned a little bit, but I would definitely like to learn more because there's only so much you can learn within the work environment of that case with leadership and things. But they're always willing to help and show me different ways that I can do that. But definitely I could improve and learn more from that point of view.
Tell me a little bit more about like wanting to work for Disney. Do you have like a dream area? I mean, obviously you said production assistant, so films, but like, is there a dream studio or anything like that?
It would be Disney. Yeah, if I had to work for a dream, I mean, I wouldn't be I don't like to put anything off limits. So if it came up with other companies, I won't say the name of, then I would take that. But I definitely would just want to be a movie director of some sort and then go from there. Yeah, I'd be intrigued to work with other companies and things, but Disney would be my first choice if I had the offering.
Have there been any specific like Disney films or things that have spoken to you and like, okay, this is one of the reasons why?
It's funny, I said Star Wars, but then I realized it wasn't, I guess it is Disney now. It's because they put favorite character on the thing. I was like, well, Darth Vader, does that count as Disney? But I guess it does because they, so definitely Star Wars was the inspiration behind that. Because I think George Lucas called it like a family drama. And I think that's like a soap opera in a way.
So that's what he called Star Wars?
Yeah, it was like a family soap opera. The spaceships are just a distraction in a way. Like
that's what I was saying, though. Yeah. It's the prequels are a romance.
It's all about Padme and Anakin, you know, at the end of the day. Nothing else. Doesn't matter about Luke or Leia or anything. Who's Luke? Who's Luke? Yeah.
Who's that kid?
Yeah, that kid. Han Solo. Yeah, he was just a sidetrack, actually. Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. That would be my most inspiration. What about you? What did you grow up with?
Ooh, flipping the tables. I'm a princess girly. I love the princesses. Cinderella, Tiana. Yeah.
For me, it was Lion King, for sure. Like, for most of, like, the early years. Mm-hmm. And then getting into more of the Pixar side, 100% The Incredibles.
Interesting pick.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a picture with Frozen a couple months back, and that's one of my favorites. Yeah, I love Frozen. You can't find him everywhere, though. It was in Hollywood Studios.
He's rare.
Yeah, he is rare, yeah. I was like, oh, I got Frozen, yes. And I'm sure people are like, where's Frozen? So, yeah, I got a little bit of... Frozen. So you said Cinderella and Tiana's then?
Yeah, I love them. I don't know if anyone's seen the Cinderella live action.
I have, yeah.
Okay, yes. That is, like, I think one of the best movies ever made. Not Disney, just, like, ever.
Is there a Disney movie that people, like, get offended that you haven't seen yet, like, at this point?
Well, does the Tom Holland. Well, okay, I guess.
aside from Spider-Man.
That I haven't seen.
Have you seen The Princesses?
I haven't seen Sleeping Beauty, but is that one?
I haven't.
Oh, that's a classic.
Because not many people have seen that. Compared to the other princess.
What sample size? Okay.
Compared to the other movies. Yeah.
We surveyed 1,000 Floridians, and they said
they've seen none.
We surveyed two men, and they said they have not seen it. Okay, besides Darth Vader, who is your favorite Disney villain?
Oh, Darth Vader's so good, though. Favorite Disney villain? I like Captain Hook.
Ooh.
I do like Captain Hook. I kind of like how insufferable he is. Like, oh, Captain Hook again. And then
well,
he comes
back.
Well,
he's dealing with those dumb kids all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
They're flying around him.
I feel like he was unjustified at the end with the crocodile. Like, he had a hard life, you know? And then you have Peter Pan, like this kid who just like does better than you and he comes out of nowhere.
Rage baiting you constantly. Yeah. Like, who's your favorite Disney villain, Josiah?
The Sanderson sisters.
Oh, yes.
I haven't heard of that. Where
yeah, and Hocus Pocus.
Oh, okay. I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Favorite characters in general to like on that side, on the villain side, for sure.
What do you like about the Sanderson sisters?
I mean, I think just character-wise, they have very distinct choices and like little quirks and things that they do that I think are hilarious. We also just watched the movie like all the time growing up, so I think it just speaks to me. It used to be Scar, but then as I grew up, I was
Scar.
Like...
I forgot about that one.
Traumatizing.
Scar might be it too. Because I watched Mufasa. I felt bad for him again. I was like, he deserved to do what he did. I was like, justified. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
You know who scared me in The Lion King was the hyenas. When I was a kid, I was so scared of the hyenas. And I know they're supposed to be like comedic relief, so I don't know what that says about me. But I did not like their laughs. And I don't know. They were in a shadowy place.
Because their grin goes up to about
yes.
Yeah. And then the eyes like turning and stuff too.
Yes, it scared me. It was unnatural. Did not like that. I really like Dr. Facilier from Princess and the Frog. I think he's a good villain. Ooh. And then Mother Gothel from Tangled, from Rapunzel's story.
Oh, she's great.
She's a great villain. Yeah. Okay, so how long have you been on your program at this point?
So since January, yeah. And I'll be here till next January.
Okay, so you have been here for several months, and it'll be up to a year, basically.
Yeah. So my extension started, I believe, 2 or 3 days ago. So I just finished.
Congratulations. Yeah.
I didn't realize until the day though I could see extension. I was like, oh, great. So
that's so exciting.
Thank you.
Do you have any thoughts for what's next?
So I'm going to go part-time, I believe, maybe full-time for a little bit, and then look for internships outside of that. And then also Disney auditions as well I'm applying to and things of that nature. So all over the place a little bit, but that's what I'd like. So
Yeah. Was there a specific moment when you decided, like, okay, I'm going to extend? Like, I know now after experiencing it, or did you just know right away, like, oh, I'm going to extend as soon as I get the chance?
I think I wanted to see, like, if it's terrible, I don't want to extend. So I took a week because I was like, you never know, right? And then I was like, okay, this will be fine. This is going great. So I was like, yeah, I'll extend and then go to the year. I also was like, oh, give me more time as well to figure out the next step. So I was definitely open to the extension.
Yeah. And when you think about like going part-time or full-time, are you thinking same location? Would you want to branch out?
Possibly same location, because the next thing I'd want to do is entertainment. So it wouldn't make too much sense to transfer into somewhere else if I didn't want to go there. Also, the people are great or where I work. So I'd probably stay at location.
Yeah.
We've heard about people who have had a chance to like pick up shifts and try different things in other locations. Have you been able to do that?
See, I've thought about it because I've had a docking base shift at a schedule view, but I have too many shifts to do that. I'll have like 6 days some week and then other days all the time. So I'm like, oh, I won't pick up that shift. There was one point where I was having so much fun picking up shifts at my location. I was like, there were 5 days and there was 2 days open. I was like, oh, 7 day work week. Let's pick up. And then I was doing it all the time. But since then, I was like, I've dialed it back a little bit. But I do want to maybe do a docking bay shift. That'd be very cool.
Yeah, I think that'd be very on brand for you.
Thank you.
Yes.
The docking bay name tag, yeah. Definitely.
So you're trying to like collect different costumes? Like, do you have a Disney bucket list of things you want to accomplish before your program finishes?
Maybe do all the attractions. Ooh. I would believe, because I did a bunch with my brother didn't like huge roller coasters at that point. I thought, well, we're gonna go on all the, I have a whole bucket list I haven't done. So we did Figment, we did all the crate Winnie the Pooh. I was like, let's knock them all out of the way. And I also thought it'd be funny just to try all these rides. And he's very much older too, so the strangest part, we went on Barnstormers because that was on the list, and you see all these tiny kids going, you see these 6 foot people walk by, and you're like, this doesn't feel right. And then the weirder one was Ariel. I'm like, and he's like, oh, imagine two people going on this ride, us two going on this ride. I'm like, it was your idea, buddy. I'm like, I didn't want to go on this.
He's like, who would ever go on this ride, as he's in line.
It was great though. 5 minute queue. Yeah. I liked when he got off the ride, he's like, that was a thrill, that ride.
It is. It'll throw you around a little bit.
It does a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What have been your favorite attractions that you've done?
I have to say Rise of Resistance first. Yeah. I would think it's probably yours. Would it be yours?
It's favorite? Yeah, it's definitely one of mine. I'd say it's top three for sure.
And then Guardians has to be in there. I think that's in everyone's top three at least.
Yeah.
I do like Tron. I just wish it was the same length as Guardians. So that would be my top three round out. I like Test Track as well. And then there's some other ones. Tiana's a fun one too. So.
Oh my gosh. It's my girl.
About you? So I love the music they play. Oh, go on.
Oh, no, that's good. So you have your favorite attractions. Do you have a favorite snack?
Okay, so there's a two. I know I keep saying a two-part answer, but there is one. So the snack I get most often, I don't know if it's my favorite, but I have the refillable popcorn bucket. Mm. So I'll go there and then get that all the time. But favorite snack, if I were just to get one, it has to be in the probably the French Pavilion and one of the pastries, I would say. Ooh. Yeah, any pastry I would take. It's all I have to take. Like, just grab the whole the store. I'll be like, I'm buying it out now.
I'll take the lot.
I'll take the French bread. I'll take that. I'll take the crepes. Yeah. I'll take the whole thing. Basically anything in the French Pavilion, I'll take.
Yeah.
So what about you two? Do you have a favorite snack? Oh. Or?
That's tough. There's a, I don't know if we're going to call this a snack or like a dessert, but there's a cookie at the Brown Derby that's super, super good. It's like a double chocolate chip, and then it has like a filling on the inside.
The thick ones.
Yeah.
Oh, really, really good. So it's like an oatmeal pie?
Kind of, with chocolate chips.
Oh, I have to try that. I'm a huge cookie fan as well. So I have to restrict myself sometimes. Gonna be taking the whole box. Yeah.
Disney has a lot of cookies. My favorite snack, thank you everyone so much for asking, is more of an experience than anything else, you know? So I want you to close your eyes and just be transported. You're walking down Main Street, USA. You see Casey's Corner. You say, that is like, I see, I'm going to start out here. Like, that looks like heaven. Okay. Walk into Casey's Corner. Corn dog nuggets with a little cuties, little like Mandarin or French fries, depending on your mood. Loaded up with the sauces, ketchup, mustard. That's it. Then you walk over to the hub grass right in front of the castle. You find a little shady spot. There is no shade there. That's fine. That's We're going to bask in the sun with these golden corn dog nuggets. And you sit and you eat your little nuggets and you look at the ambiance. You look at the beautiful castle in front of you, the people walking around. Perhaps a little parade might go by depending on the time of day.
The bubbles.
Yeah, the castle show. Yeah, you can hear the music. You're just feeling so alive. That is my favorite snack at Disney, or a Mickey Mouse cake pop. No! Oh my god.
Is it more the experience than the snack? You could do it without the
snack. No, you have to have the corn dog nuggets. You can't just sit on the grass. Like, what are you going to do? Stare into space? You need to be eating something, and it needs to be corn dog nuggets.
Okay.
Or the popcorn from the confectionery. Have you guys had that?
I haven't.
You can like custom make your own popcorn. You can make it like sweet. You can make it savory. Oh. It's really good. So sometimes that.
Is there chocolate flavored popcorn now?
You can do a chocolate drizzle. Ah, okay. Yeah. So you can switch it up. Yeah. So everyone, I know where I'll be after this.
Yeah.
My experience. Yeah. What do you think is like the best thing that you've gotten out of working in QSR?
The best thing? Specifically QSR or just Disney and...
Both, maybe. Okay. Why not?
Oh, yeah. Well, why not? Okay. So out of QSR... Oh, I didn't realize how particular I was with putting food out. So this is going to sound very silly. But people, when I, so when they put trays out and stuff, they'll be like, one fry out of this way. And I didn't realize how much, I don't think I have OCD. But then when I was looking at this, I was like, no, this has to be a certain way. Like, this fry has to be that way. And they're like, Ethan, it does not matter. I'm like, yeah, but if I was a guest and I saw it that way, I would want it this way. So they're like, okay. And then I sent it out. So probably just realizing how particular I was about certain things is the best thing I found. I was like, oh, I do pay attention to detail. So
your that standards is what, are
yeah,
high.
Yeah, I guess. I didn't realize that before, maybe. And then for the Disney College, did you say what was the best thing?
Yeah.
So for the Disney College program, I would just say the opportunities that are available and what I can go from there. And as I mentioned before, the internships available that I'm still applying to and things, and the auditions as well. So the opportunities.
Was there anything surprising about this role that you weren't expecting?
I didn't realize how structured the system was going to be. So I'm used to where I used to work. It was, you know, the regular, and then it was just management. So the manager or a regular person would just train. I'm not used to the whole structured system of trainer, then leader, or no, coordinator. I'm forgetting positions now. Coordinator, leader, proprietor. It's very structured in a way, but I think it works in that you're able to build an organized system from there. And then organizational strength. That was probably the thing I didn't expect as much. Other surprising things.
Yeah.
How many snacks there are. I'm just trying to get back to the food topic. No, I'm just joking. No, I didn't know how many snacks there were. But yeah, so maybe stuff like that. But maybe just the attention to detail, I would say, about everything is the most surprising thing.
Well, it has been an absolute joy to be able to sit and get to know you. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Of course. Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate your time as well.
Of course.
I enjoyed it very much.
Awesome. And thank you so much to everyone who tuned in to listen. We will see you next time.
This episode was brought to life by Matthew Nixon, Kayla Messenger-McCarty, Destiny Enriquez, Christian Hui, Amanda Vetrano, and Kellyanne Vasquez.
Editing was completed by Carson Foster. Production support provided by John Fulton, Reese Meyer, and Isabel Vickery. Music arranged and produced by Nat Young Music Group.
Creative support provided by Joshua Davila and Felicity Andrews. A special thanks to our hosts, Holly Dudley and Josiah Williams. A special thanks to the Disney Programs Communications Team, Disney Programs Recruitment Team, and our guest, Ethan.